Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody. Hat on,
hat on,
suit on,
suit on,
looking like the dapper dawn,
giving them all
on,
dress
like a million bucks,
buying
things in his cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh,
everybody out there listening to me. For Steve Harvey,
put your hands together.
Oh,
oh,
please.
Steve
Harvey,
oh,
listen.
Steve
Harvey,
why don't
you join
in? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. Okay. I want to share something with you that I had to come to the realization one time. And even in the reinvention of myself right now, I've had to come to that. And I want to share it with you today. Give it to you. I want to tell you about something that a lot of people do in their life. And I want you to be aware of it. Here it is. Don't get stuck on yourself. You could be wrong, you know. I said, don't get stuck on yourself. You could be wrong, you know. The reason I'm saying this is because people have a tendency to, once they make a decision about something, or once they decide to go a certain path, they go against all everything. Anything anybody says, anything anybody might do, any other ruling they may come across, they shun advice. They don't listen to counsel. They just, I made the decision. I'm going to do it anyway. Don't get stuck on yourself. You could be wrong, you know. Now, here's a surefire way to tell if you're wrong. If you don't see any movement in the direction you've chosen, if you don't see anything going right in that decision, if you feel as though you're in a rut, if the wall you're climbing seems so insurmountable that you ain't even moving an inch, and every time you turn around, you keep getting knocked back down. Don't get stuck on yourself. You know, you could be wrong, you know. See, that's why it's important for people to always be open to the reinvention of yourself. You know, you cannot be afraid to reinvent yourself. In other words, you can't be afraid to change. Change is necessary when it comes to growth. There is no growth without change. You cannot grow and never change. And I'm sorry, it's like from the time you were born, you are constantly growing, but in that growth, have you not noticed you have constantly changed? The more you know, listen to this. The more you know, the older you look. Sorry. Sorry. But there is no growth without change. And I have found this to be true and the case. The more you know, the older you look. Now, you can do drugs and kill both them theories. Because you can do drugs and not know nothing and look real old. So, you know, there's a way around it. But I'm talking about if you're spending your life trying to make something out yourself. There is no growth without change. You cannot be afraid to reinvent yourself. So don't get stuck on yourself because you could be wrong, you know. If you're heading in a direction and ain't nothing going right in your life, could it be the wrong direction? If you're climbing and you're making no headway, could it be the wrong direction? Could you have possibly made the wrong choice? Don't get stuck on yourself because you done made the wrong stuff. It's okay to forgive yourself. It's okay to let yourself off the hook. It's even smarter sometimes to admit that you were wrong. You ever met somebody ain't ever wrong? Have you ever met somebody you talk to, they ain't ever wrong about nothing, man. They just, it's they way or the highway. It's this is my way. I know people like that, stuck on them power trips and all like that. You know what I had to learn how to do? I had to learn how to let them go on them power trips. But listen to this, though. You're not taking me on that trip, though. You're going on that trip by yourself. I'm going in the right direction. I've decided to stop the way. Okay, listen to this person. This person. I decided to stop doing business the way I was doing business. I decided to stop to allow business being done around me the way business was being done around me. You know what? You know the best decision I made was to allow for God to have some say-so and to offer me his direction. I have found him to be a better driver than anyone else I know. I have found him to know more about the man he made than anybody else who's merely associating with me. I have found it to be a fact that my maker knows more about the vehicle he created than does anybody else. If your Chevy break, don't you take it to Chevy? You don't take your Ford when it break down to a Toyota dealership. They not gonna know everything that the Ford dealership would know about the vehicle. You know why? Because they're not the maker of it. So now, why are you letting your life being led, controlled, and guided by somebody other than your maker? I'm just asking you to let's all take a common sense look at this. So if going to your maker is the best way, the best decision I made in my business was take over my brand myself and to allow the maker of this brand. See, without God, I'm none of this. I'm none of this. I want you to clearly understand I ain't none of this without him. I wish I could have the guts to reach back there and pat myself on the back for what I've accomplished in my life. I wish I had the guts. I wish the nerve of me, because I know for a fact that there is no way that I could have manufactured the life that I have. I could not even have thought of it. It's no way I could have told you that this was the route I was going to take and this is the outcome because of it. I had no idea, no clue. The one thing I had, though, was an unshakable faith in God. I had I just kept believing in him. I kept believing that he had something more for me. And then when I touched base with him and asked him to show me what it is, what he had for me, ta-da, the magic show began. Because you know what he did? He took all my natural abilities that he had given to me, this gift that he gave me, that he poured into me at birth, that same gift that he poured into you at birth. The moment you go to him and let him show you that gift, and then guess what? Once he takes what he naturally put in you and put his superpowers on top of that, then you have some supernatural things going on in your life. And you may not be feeling me. I'm cool with that. But I done had some supernatural things happen to me. Every day I wake up, some supernatural, the rewards of my life, the awards of my life, the accomplishments, the how I'm working, the how I manage it all that ain't nothing but God. That ain't nothing but God. You can't even explain this schedule to people. Sometimes when people ask me, Steve, how do you do it? I go, well, this is what I manage my time. Then at the end of when I get through, I say, hey, man, you know what I need to tell y'all for real? It's God. I don't really know. But I'm letting him manage me, so he handling it. He ain't going to put no more on me than I can bear. Listen to me, y'all. Don't be afraid to reinvent yourself. And remember this. Don't get stuck on yourself because you could be wrong, you know. You absolutely could be wrong. If you don't tie this to your gift, you will be struggling the rest of your life.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we are. It is the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You're listening to Steve Harvey, but hey, that's just a piece of it. Here's the rest of it. Shirley Strawberry.
Hey, Steve. Good morning.
Carla Farrell.
Good morning. What's up, Steve? Crew.
Ladies and gentlemen, Junior.
Morning, Unc.
Morning, Unc. Javity Brown.
I'm living my best life right here, baby.
Stupid.
And the king of pranks, the fool, nephew Tommy.
Yay, yay, in the building, Uncle Steve. Let's get it, baby. Let's
hey,
get
man,
it.
Can I say something that I really do appreciate, Lil Duval? I just want to send a shout out to Lil Duval.
Yeah.
For making my theme song for 218.
Oh, that's
thank
the song.
You, man.
I'm living the best
funny
life.
Too, man. Duval is funny, boy.
Oh, yeah,
well,
he is.
It's about to be murdered, Steve. I'm going to murder it. I hope y'all ain't really, really tight. Really, really tight.
There goes the y'all about to fall out, Jay.
Oh, yeah, you're about to fall Jay. Out now.
They don't miss this song.
I just
want to
give you a little warning that you go after Lil Duval now.
Going after him.
Yeah, okay. All things be different.
I've gone after people bigger than him, so okay. I ain't
well,
worried.
You're going
to
have all of Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, he got, I'll be
well,
there.
He got a social media follower. I ain't in this.
I'm going after him.
You're going to be on all kinds of pages.
You watch out there now.
Can I just say this? Y'all ain't even heard the song yet. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't
but
even know.
But you the one said you was going after him.
I said I'm going after the song. The song. Okay.
And we've heard your other
this
murder
good,
to hit.
No, this is going to be good. You're going to love this.
You like you got a real good track record.
Ain't nobody going to be mad.
I ain't mad. Come on, Jay. Bring the
go
fire.
Ahead, all right.
Come on.
Jay, what if Duval get mad? What you going to do?
I'm not going to make the song so he
what
can
what Duval going to do?
Duval going to, girl, all of Jacksonville going to whoop Jay.
All of Jacksonville. And I got I'm going to Jacksonville, so I don't want to make nobody mad. It ain't that type of song.
Okay.
Wait till you hear the song. Wait till you hear the song.
And then judge.
I'm living my best life.
Sing it, fool. Sing it. Great
big
song.
Big ups to Duval.
Yeah.
We love you, man. We love you.
That song is sheer greatness.
That song is huge, man.
It is. Yes, man, fire.
I've actually wanted to sing it the whole damn song.
It's inspiring, too, really. It
but
really
it is.
Is.
It is.
Yeah, it makes you think. Live your best life.
Jay, did you see
you
the dude catching the football on his Twitter?
Oh, yeah, the one that spins around.
Turned all the way around and caught the ball. Oh, my God, I ain't seen nothing.
Unbelievable, man.
I'm just used to you going, yeah, I used to could do that or something like that.
No, I,
just,
I ain't
I
never
thought
done
we
that.
Had another bet coming
I ain't
up.
Never done it. I ain't gonna lie about that. I ain't never done that. I ain't never turned around and did a 360 and caught the ball.
Oh. Mm.
I ain't never seen
not
you in
had
a
race two
either.
Women. Mm.
Wow. Wow. Pop team.
I'm saying
I'm team Tommy. You know, I'm going to stop all these pop tings on the team. Tommy, I'm
going to put a stop to it. You fed
up. Yeah, we're going. I'm going to try to put a stop to the best I
my
can.
My bad. My bad.
No, that
all
was
right,
my
listen,
bad.
Guys, while you guys debate about that, coming up next, the president gives in to public pressure about the White House half-staff flag to honor Senator John McCain. And J. Anthony Brown is here with old man moments. You don't want to miss this, okay? We'll be back at 32 after.
Who else?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
President Donald Trump initially tweeted condolences for John McCain's family, Senator John McCain, I should say, but did not praise the senator specifically. On Monday afternoon, he issued a statement saying, despite our differences on policy and politics, I respect Senator John McCain's service to our country. Earlier yesterday, the White House flag had returned to its regular position, even as other flags around Washington, including the U.S. Capitol, remained in the half-staff mourning position. But on Monday afternoon, after public pressure, the White House once again lowered the flag to half staff, and Donald Trump, in his statement, said he signed a proclamation to fly the flag of the United States at half staff until the day of his interment. So that is good news. The president had a change of heart.
Until the day of his what?
Interment, until he gets buried, until the body is buried.
Stay half, yeah, until he's buried.
But he returned it back.
We shouldn't have had to go through this at all.
Yeah, it was half mass for 2 days, and then today it was back at, you know, its regular position. Then public pressure, people, I mean, it was mounting, Steve. People were very upset about that because John McCain, you know, meant a lot to so many people. He was one of the ones.
Both sides.
Yeah, he was one of the ones that was really into bipartisanship, and he stood for that. So, you know, people like him, Democrats and Republicans.
Now, let me ask you a question. Were they blaming Trump for that?
Yeah, for the flag, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Because all the government buildings had their flags at half staff, except for the White House. That's a government building, too.
Except
what are you doing?
The White House.
So that's just
to
show
to blame
how petty he is.
President is too much.
Yeah.
This dude,
man. Page and petty. Captain Petty.
The last 2 years we blaming him. What are we talking about? Yeah.
But it does say a lot for public pressure, though, which means, you know, our votes count as well, you know. Translate that into votes, public pressure, if you get out
and
there
and
vote.
And at a press conference, he couldn't come up with one nice thing to say
about
John McCain. All day, not one thing.
The reporters kept pressing him and asking him a question. Anything you want to say about
nothing.
Senator McCain, sir.
Not
anything. Yeah. So, anyway, just another example with the flag thing, you know, of the animosity that the president has maintained for Senator McCain, even after the man is dead and gone now. You know, show some respect.
Some respect. Won't even do.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough. Raise it back up.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Man,
that's
how evil could you be, man?
That's
crazy.
That's
good.
Where it belongs.
Yeah. So public pressure can make the president do that. Imagine what we could do with our votes. You know, just, you know, get out and vote. Midterms are coming. They are definitely coming.
That's right.
Coming.
Register,
you know,
and get out and vote.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right, so let's switch gears here now, folks. It is time for something funny. Jay, you want to explain this old man moments?
These old man moments. Now, they're not all connected to old men, but most of them are. All right, here's one. You talk to someone for a long time at a party. You separate, and you don't know who the hell they are.
You've been talking to him for a long time?
Just like a long damn time. Just another old man. Yeah, what's the...
I've been doing that since I was 19.
You've been talking to people for a long time.
Man, talked to a dude at Spatch Club one night for about an hour. Just laughing at the bar. Saw him at closing. Didn't have a damn clue what his name was. And could barely remember where I saw him.
Can't say you were drunk because you don't drink.
Okay. That damn sure wasn't it.
All right. Here's one real. You put your phone in the refrigerator and forget you put it in there for 2 damn days.
Why,
though? Frozen.
Not frozen.
Ice didn't build up on the phone.
All right. I'm the only one. This ain't only me. You call somebody and forget what you call about.
Oh,
it's only me?
I've done that.
No, that's all.
Yeah. That's all of us,
that.
Jeff.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. When you walk to the kitchen from your bedroom and just walk around the kitchen saying, I don't know why the hell.
What the hell?
Yeah. What did I want? I don't.
Mm-hmm. Right, I've done this. I've done this several times. Set in the movie. The wrong damn movie for about 20 minutes before you figure out.
this
ain't the movie I paid for.
Hey, really? I've never done that.
That's funny, Jay.
When is Denzel coming on the screen, man?
Yeah. All these trailers.
This is
when is Denzel coming on in Finding Nemo? You ever done this one right here? Been on your phone talking, walking around. I have told the dude, hold on, man, hold on. I got to go back in the house. Man, I can't find my damn phone.
Yes, yes, Steve.
Okay. You own it.
Oh, wait, yeah.
And not only me, all right? All right. If you got one of those cars that start by itself, you know, keyless start.
Oh, yeah.
Start your car up.
Uh-huh.
You start your car up. You go to the mall. Go in the mall. Come out. Your car is still running.
Ooh.
All that gas that just burned out that
You lucky your car is still there.
But yeah. You don't even know where you parked.
That's right,
it, though,
Carla.
Yes. Don't know where you parked. Carla, this is scary. You call someone by mistake, but the person you call by mistake, because you've had a long conversation, has the same damn name of the person you thought you called.
Oh, I see that. Yes.
Yes. So Steve, let me tell you this, Steve. Wait. This Steve Miller or Steve Harvey? Huh? This my frat brother, Steve Miller?
Yeah.
I don't even fool with you, dog.
I got one to add to that, though.
Go ahead.
Y'all ever text somebody and you've been talking about that other person, but then you text that person
Girl, you mean to?
Yes.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, you
that don't
so
have
bad.
Nothing to do with age.
Uh-uh.
I got one quick one.
Come on,
Steve.
You ever not want to take your... You ever not want to give your kids a ride to school because you walk to school 30 miles both ways and you want them to learn something?
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, it is Run That Prank Back with the King of Pranks, Nephew Tommy, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, the city of Detroit will honor the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, this week. And PETA wants the Queen of Soul fur coats. What? But right now, the nephew is here. We got to talk about that one. Nephew is here to make us laugh. It's time to run that prank back. What you got, Neff?
Well, I want to hit him with something, you know, that's going to be nice and realistic.
Okay.
Realistic.
That's different for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you want to give them something that they can chew on. Marry your baby. Mary.
You play too much.
Get your nephew. Baby. Get your nephew, Uncle Steve.
What? Is that Steve Harvey or Steve Miller?
For you Mary, your baby. Here it is, running cat.
Hello? Hello, I'm trying to reach Mr.
Yes, this is he.
Hey, Mr. How you doing? I'm calling the right person. Your daughter is Crystal.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I got the right person. Hey, listen, what I wanted to do, Mr. Ridges, is call and introduce myself to you and let you know who I was. My name is Jeff, Jeff, and I've been seeing Crystal, pretty much like the last 5 to 6 months, and I wanted to let you know that I'm very, very interested in you, and I know this is kind of crazy for you to get a phone call from me, but I'm very interested in Crystal right now, and I wanted to, I just wanted to do the man thing and just reach out to your man and say I'm really interested in marrying your daughter.
And marrying my daughter? Wait, hold on, man. What'd you say your name was again?
My name is Jeff. Jeff.
Okay, Jeff. Listen, I'm very close with my daughter, and my daughter has never ever mentioned you. I talk with my daughter every day.
Wow. I don't know what that's about, but it's been like about 5, close to 6 months that me and Crystal been, going out, up here at the school. But what I wanted to do is tell you that I really, really, really like Crystal, man. And I wanted to call and tell you that, I'm really, really interested in marrying Crystal. I really do want Crystal to be my wife.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I've never heard of you before, and my daughter has never, ever mentioned you. My daughter isn't dating anybody right now. My daughter's in grad school.
I understand that, and, we've been a little back and forth or whatever, but, the main thing is me and Crystal really, we really do love each other, Miss. I want to,
Okay, but if you love my daughter, she would have told me that she was in love with someone.
But and maybe it's a situation where Crystal is like a little uneasy about talking to you about it. You know what I'm saying?
My daughter can talk with me about anything. We talk every day.
Right. Just like you, I talk to my daughter every day.
Your daughter? And how old is your daughter?
My daughter 15.
Hold on a minute, man. You said your daughter was 15.
Right.
Okay, well, how old are you?
I'm 46.
46? You 46 years old and you want to marry my 25-year-old daughter?
Hey, let me say this right here. Love ain't got no limit, man. And I understand, I was a little shocked at first about the age difference between us. But you know what, man?
I'm more shocked than me.
Okay, and I understand that. But what I'm trying to explain to you, man, is that it come a time, man, where you just don't know what's going to happen, man. Love is love, man.
And you've been locked up on parole at the university on work release and met my daughter.
Yeah.
How long were you locked up?
I'm gonna say this, man. Crystal is just a beautiful person, man.
Hold on, man. You calling me at the blue with all this shit. Look, man, I'm at work. I got a lot of work on my damn desk, and you calling me, telling me you a former jailbird wants to marry my daughter, my 25-year-old daughter, and you damn near 50, you damn near my age and want to marry my daughter? Man, I am not trying to talk to you about this shit. What I need to do is I need to talk to Crystal and get to the bottom of this. That's what the hell I need to do.
Hey, and I understand that, Mr. You was probably going to want to talk to her, and I ain't got no problem with that. What I'm trying to explain to you is that, man, love ain't got no limit, man. It's just something that happened. Crystal love me, I love her, and it is what it is. I just wanted to try to get your blessings on this.
You can't get my blessings. You lost your mind. How the hell are you jailbird gonna marry my daughter? Man, my daughter's been in private school all her damn life. She was on the dean's list all 4 years of college, and she's going to grad school. And are you gonna marry my daughter that you met on your work release?
Hey, Miss, I understand that. What I'm trying to explain to you that, you know what, man, sometimes love is right the second time around. You understand what I'm saying?
What the hell you mean the second time?
I got kids already. What I'm trying to say is it didn't work out with me on the first time. What I wanted to do, man, is just call you and solidify the culinary experience.
Culinary? Culinary got to do with food. What the hell is you talking about? Look. I got to talk to my daughter. I'm going to call Crystal, and I'm going to find out what the hell is going on. Because, look, man, I'm not even trying to have this conversation with you.
And Mr. Parrish, I understand all that. I understand what you're saying. What I want to say to you is this right here. Crystal is 25. Even if you don't agree with this here, we're going to elope and make sure that
Look here. You ain't doing a thing with my daughter unless it's my... Look here, man. You ain't doing with my daughter. I don't even know your jailbird. You ain't doing. I'm going to call my daughter, find out who you really are. Because you've lost your mind if you think your old jailbird is going to be marrying my daughter. My daughter's got a future. You ain't got. What the hell is wrong with you? You lost mind.
I'm not going to sit here and go back and forth with you, Mr. Me and Crystal getting married.
That will not happen under any circumstances. No.
I don't care what you think the circumstances are. Me and Crystal getting married. That's
that
it.
Not the love. Man, I don't know who the hell you think you are. What the is wrong with you? Face, how about
that? That's what it's got to be. I got one more thing I need to say, and then me and Crystal just going to come over there and drive down there and tell you exactly what's going on in our life right
what,
now.
What? You tell me what you got to say to me?
Are you listening to me?
Yes. What the hell you got to say to me?
I got to say this. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your daughter, Crystal, and her boyfriend.
Aw, ain't this some I'm outside my job cussing, and all the people looking at me like I'm crazy. Damn, Joe.
Man, your baby girl just wanted to put a smile on your face, man. I got to ask you, what is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
Man, the Steve Harvey Morning Show. I'm going to get your ass.
What y'all think?
We think.
You ignorant.
I said it already. You played too much.
Yeah, it's a matter of time. It could happen.
I just want to know if I'm stupid enough.
As president.
Why you keep asking us this?
Well, I just want to know, am I stupid enough?
Look, stupid, how many times we got to call you stupid?
For you to be convinced.
Hey, real quick.
And you ain't won and wanted the trivia.
I want to ask you this one. If I prank a bunch of teachers, what would you
What would be a good title for my CD? If I prank a bunch of teachers, professors, just people that work at schools, what would be a good title for my CD?
How about I won't prank teachers? We'll have to answer that when we come back.
When we come back, cool.
See, that's a good idea. Mm. Don't play with teachers.
All right, well, okay. Coming up next, entertainment news. The city of Detroit will honor the Queen of Soul this week. And we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, this is from our home station, WMXD Mix 92.3 in Detroit. The city of Detroit will honor the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, all this week. Fans and mourners will celebrate Aretha Franklin's life with 5 days of events. Miss Franklin died, as we all know, August 16th after a long battle with pancreatic cancer. Surrounded by friends and family, Miss Franklin's body will lie in repose at the Charles H. Wright Museum for African American History at 315 East Warren Avenue, Detroit, Michigan. The viewing will be open to the public for today and tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. The Queen's funeral service will be this Friday, August 31st, and we will play Miss Franklin's music all morning this Friday. The Queen of Soul's music lives on here at the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, Shirley.
Yes.
Your guy that did your wedding, Pastor Jasper Williams?
Uh-huh. Mm.
That's who's doing the eulogy.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Mr. Jasper Wheat. That's a bad boy, right?
Yeah, he is. He is. All right.
That boy can preach.
So, Steve, I got to ask you something. Did you hear about this? We all know the Queen, Miss Franklin herself, was known for wearing fabulous fur coats. Now that she's gone, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, that is PETA, would like to have those fur coats.
What are they going to do with it?
Tracy Raymond, PETA's executive president, has reached out to Aretha's niece, Sabrina, to get the coats so they can use them for homeless people and as bedding for needy animals.
See, right there. They finna get the cussing up a life.
Hold my mule
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
She said, by donating Aretha Franklin's fur coats to PETA, her family could expand her legacy of social justice to animals. While we can't bring back the animals who suffered and died for them, these coats can help others by providing some much-needed warmth to orphaned animals and humans in desperate need.
We're going to get these coats for the animals to lay on, or we giving the coats to homeless people?
Homeless people and bedding for needy animals. Yes.
So you got a fur coat on the corner with a sign.
I didn't know that PETA did that.
Well, neither did I,
They do anything for people.
I neither did I. They can use them.
If
for
you give
people.
Them that coat, I'm about to promise you they're not giving it to a homeless person.
Mm. Yeah.
You're gonna be on the corner with a fur coat and a sign,
and it's a pawn shop right there.
Man,
shut up, Steve.
I got that.
No, the fact
I'm home.
I got that visual.
I ain't got nowhere to stay.
Get it out of my head.
But
now.
I got this.
You gonna give me a sable, and I'm gonna rock it.
She had fabulous furs.
Yeah.
Oh, she did.
Yes, yeah, she did.
Respect. Yes, respect.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I just don't see how you going to ask her family before the funeral about these damn coats. We trying to bury my grandmother. We trying to bury my mama. What the hell
I'm telling you, man. They bargain up the wrong tree.
Yeah.
I really do think
one thing people don't do when they're having a funeral is let you take anything out my mama's house. You ain't taking a damn thing out my mama's house. Nothing. It ain't happening.
Well, needless to say, yeah. So far, the estate has not responded.
And they ain't gone.
Yeah.
But no response.
Oh, they didn't respond.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It ain't the
no
one they wanted
an
to hear.
Answer.
Oh, no. They didn't respond. PETA just ain't heard it.
They didn't want to hear it. Yeah.
What they didn't say it, dog?
Well, it has been so many MLs about these coats.
We got to go.
When we come back, though.
Hey, Steve, it is time to get the latest on the president's deal with Mexico. So please introduce Miss Ann with our headlines.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ann Tripp.
And thank you very much, everybody. This is Antrim with the news. Good morning. Police in Jacksonville, Florida say they still don't know definitively why a young white man shot up a video game tournament over the weekend, killing two participants and wounding nine others before he killed himself. Jacksonville Sheriff Mike Williams says the gunman's identified as 24-year-old David Katz and that he was also a gamer.
There are prior relationships with, I don't know specifically about which with which victims. But this group travels as a kind of as a circuit.
Witnesses say Katz had lost an earlier match. Court papers show he'd been treated at mental facilities twice. Senator John McCain to be memorialized starting today. Senate colleagues from both sides of the aisle in Arizona as well as in Washington and by former Presidents George Bush and Barack Obama, who were asked by the McCain family to give eulogies. Not asked, reportedly, was Donald Trump. McCain and Trump clashed almost immediately during Trump's presidential campaign, especially when the president made fun of McCain's prison of war torture experiences, telling his supporters that he considered a hero someone who didn't get caught. Senator McCain died Saturday at age 81. He left some last words for the American people. Here's some of them.
I've tried to serve our country honorably. I've made mistakes, but I hope my love for America will be weighed favorably against them. I lived and died a proud American.
That was Rick Davis, his associate. By the way, in the wake of his originally very brief tweet on McCain's passing, President Trump has followed tradition and signed a proclamation citing McCain's service to the country, and the White House flag has been lowered to half-staff again. It was lowered for 2 days, then raised, while all other Washington flags remain lowered out of respect. And there were a lot of veterans groups that didn't like that, so now he's loaded again. The Trump administration and Mexico have reached a tentative agreement to revise key portions of the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. The new deal designed to encourage more car and truck production in the U.S. by requiring the vehicles have at least 75% North American content in order to be sold in this country duty-free, and some other things. President Trump is confident.
A lot of people thought this was not a doable transaction. It's going to be great for our people.
And Canada's expected to rejoin NAFTA negotiations very, very quickly. They're, you know, speeding an ambassador there to try and talk to the president about it. Today is the first of 2 days, as you surely said, where Aretha Franklin's body is to lie in state in Detroit. Happy belated birthday to the supremely intelligent and still lovely Katherine Johnson. Katherine Johnson, the math genius who calculated the trajectories for NASA's Apollo space missions by hand, turned 100 years young on Sunday. She was played by actress Taraji P. Henson in the movie Hidden Figures. Finally, today is National Red Wine Day.
So every day I spend my time drinking wine.
Well, that's not a good thing to do every day. Here's up, Steve Harvey Nation. Find out if Uncle Steve is smarter than his nephew. We'll be back 20 minutes after the hour in the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, it's time to play our favorite game. Are you smarter than nephew Tommy, or is Uncle Steve smarter than his nephew?
He's the only one smarter than me. He is the only, in the words of Charlie Wilson, he's the only a swan.
Well, it's his show, so it only matters that he is, okay? Man. Ready?
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to read the question.
Do you think you're that smart, Steve? Do you really think you? Do you think you're a genius?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, I just wanted to know that.
Not at all, man. Matter of fact, like, I really ain't nowhere near brilliant. But I'm way away from dumb as your ass.
I'm way distant.
That's clear to me.
I
got to do is beat you.
Let's go. Come on.
I made myself clear with these, you know, nephew Tommy as the president of Team Tommy. We gonna
you ain't been a damn president.
I'm trying to step it up. See? I'm trying to step it up.
Okay. Well, you ain't had no meetings or nothing. For the fan club.
Here we go with the questions. I'm going to read the question.
Hold on. Before you say that, can I say something?
Sure.
I really don't feel like this.
But you're going to do it.
What that mean now?
You might have a chance is what it means.
Yeah, this your best
take
shot,
a hint.
Man.
Take a hint. All right, here we go. I'm going to read the question. Whoever says it first, the answer is
Come
the winner.
On.
All right, here we go.
He's so smart.
What fairy tale princess wore a glass slipper?
Cinderella.
What are Nicki Minaj's fans called?
Menage a trois.
What was J. Anthony Brown's profession before he was a comedian?
Taylor.
What city is called the city that never sleeps?
New York.
What actor is the co-creator of Casamigos Tequila?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
George Ocean Lopez.
11. Ocean 11. No. No.
George Clooney.
Which married music moguls have twins named Rumi and Sir?
Jay and Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Complete the lyrics to this hit Drake song. Kiki, do you love me?
Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead, finish.
Hell, I know that.
This lyric.
Come Kiki, on. Do you love me? Do you want me?
Do you want me?
Are you really, really feeling me? TT.
Time's up.
What
was
what?
Wow.
Let me hear it anyway.
Let you hear it for what? You said a bunch of answers after me. Oh, you was trying.
Okay. All right. What do you guys think?
Did he answer one?
I said Cinderella, but I don't know if I beat you.
He said New York way later.
Cinderella way later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're going to do some tallying here.
I don't think we have to tally this one.
And we're going to see who won.
We got to see who won.
Wow. Mm-hmm. We'll be back, and we'll find out who's smarter right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it is time to get back to Are You Smarter Than Nephew Tommy, or Is Steve Smarter Than His Nephew? Here we go. We're going to read the questions and see who won. All right, what fairy tale princess wore a glass slipper? Cinderella. Steve, you got that one first.
Okay. He beat me on that?
Yeah, he did. Mm. What are Nicki Minaj...
I don't think he beat me on that.
I'll tell you what, just listen real close. Watch the rest of it.
What are Nicki... if we give you that one, huh?
Steve, this is my favorite answer from you. What are Nicki Minaj's fans called? Not Menage a Trois, but they're called Barbies or Barbs.
I swear to God, I didn't know that. I just thought it made sense to me. Nicki Minaj, Menage a Trois.
It fit.
Yeah. What was J. Anthony Brown's profession before he was a comedian? We all know he was a well,
no,
most
that
of
is
us
not
know
true.
He was a
That's
tailor.
Wrong.
Well,
no, he was a tailor that couldn't make pockets.
No, I was not a tailor. No, I did 2 terms in Vietnam, and a lot of people don't know about it. I don't talk about it much.
Shut your mouth.
You went to Vietnam, Jay?
Twice.
No, why are you doing that?
So, Jay, you was in the bushes talking about, watch out there now.
Twice. Yes.
Well, Steve got that one. what city is called the city that never sleeps? New York City. Everyone knows that. Well, almost everyone. Steve, you
New
got
Orleans.
That one again.
New Orleans, too. They both don't sleep. New York and New Orleans. But go ahead.
It's New York.
Boy.
It's New York.
New Orleans
Tommy.
Is the Big Easy.
New Orleans
easy.
Don't sleep,
It's the
boy.
Big Easy.
It's
yeah.
The Big Easy.
Yeah. What actor is co-creator of Cosamigos Tequila? That Just would be George Clooney.
See how I came back and got that
uh-huh.
one?
You did. I knew it. I said Ocean 11.
Yeah, you
I
did.
Said everything but the man.
Mm-hmm. Steve got that one. Which married music moguls have twins named Rumi and Sir? That would be Beyonce and Jay-Z. Steve got that one.
Kids,
yeah.
I don't know.
What?
And, I can't keep. I got my own kids to keep up with. I can't keep up with jokes.
Here's the final one. Complete the lyrics to this hit Drake song, Kiki, Do You Love Me? Are you riding? That was it.
Notice both of us ain't saying nothing.
But it was really cute that what you said, Steve. Say
you got
again,
some
Steve.
Of it right. He did, yeah.
Kiki, do you love me? Do you need me? Do you really, really want me, Kiki?
Yeah.
Is you really
Steve.
Me?
Go ahead.
Come on, girl. Why don't we see, Kiki?
Come
now
on,
bring
girl.
The Barbies
why don't we
in.
See?
The Menage a Trois.
I like that name, though, the Menage a Trois.
I thought I had nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were very close.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm just stupid. I'm not. No, we're not finna do that part.
Bam.
No, ain't no bam.
I think what it is my mind is just quicker than yours. Because you say a lot of the answers after me.
So what's wrong with my mind, Steve?
I just think it's a couple ticks slow. We always knew that. Ever
so
since
you
was
think
a baby
I'm.
Though.
Ever since when?
Ever since he was a baby. We knew he was a tick slow.
What happened when he was a baby?
It's he what didn't him. Happen.
Did you drop him, Steve?
No. Once his growth got stunted, that was it. So did his brain.
He locked me in a closet.
Uh-huh.
He pushed me under the bed.
I was babysitting.
And
I told
and
your ass quit walking outside. So you got locked in the closet.
You put me in the closet. You put me under the bed.
We were playing hide and go seek, and your stupid ass didn't know how to hide. So I pushed you under.
The deep
freezer? You locked me in the deep freezer? Yes.
You said you had a fever.
You tried to break it.
What does got to do with being put in a deep freezer?
You trying to help your ass.
Unkin' nap.
I see the love there. I see it. Mm-hmm.
You see love?
Yeah.
He's still mad because he in the freezer.
How is it love when your uncle, who is 10 years older than you, who is the person that's supposed to be watching you while everybody else gone, uh-huh. and then when everybody gone, something bad happens to me. But I get locked in a deep freezer for at least 30 minutes. He keep raising the door so I don't die, but then he keep closing it. You explain to me how this a nice person.
Okay, but let me ask you something. When you got out, did you have a fever? Hello.
All right, listen.
You talking about hello.
But I don't help your ass no more.
Up next, the nephew has a prank phone call. You are the king of pranks, though, nephew. That's for sure. We'll do that right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. The subject, my first major dating mistake with brothers. But right now, the nephew is here with his prank phone call for today. And sorry,
hello, boy.
Sorry about the game today, Tommy. Steve beat you again.
I know he beat me, yeah. Shirley. You don't have to continue to tell
this
me.
Boy fire with these here pranks, though.
Yeah, he's the king, Steve. He is the king.
Shirley, do you know Isaac Carey?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. The singer.
Man
yes.
of Standard.
Yes.
Gospel mm-hmm. singer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we
and
know.
Boy, can he
you
sing.
Know, when you prank, you don't hold... You go for everybody.
Uh-huh.
This right here is Isaac Carey, Men of Standard. Take a listen.
Hello? Hello, I'm trying to reach an Isaac Carey, please.
Speaking. Lance is calling.
My name is Attorney Rob. I'm a representative for Mr. Victor. You're with gospel group Men of Standard, am I correct?
Yeah. Who you say you represent again?
My client's name is Victor. You guys did a great album, I must admit, called Surrounded.
Yes, sir.
That was dropped in July of 07, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Great. You guys financially did pretty good on that, am I correct?
God bless us. It was cool. What is this call pertaining to, sir?
Well, now you guys have a song on there called I Will.
Yes, sir.
And that supposedly was the one of the hit songs on the actual album, correct?
Some would say.
Okay. And how many people are actually in your group?
It's three members, sir. Again, what is this call pertaining to? Because I'm trying to eat dinner with my family, you know.
No problem. What we got here is now the song I Will, could you actually tell me who wrote the song?
Men of Standard wrote the song, the three members of the group, and the producer, Warren.
Okay. What's going on here is Victor... who I represent is telling me that he actually wrote the song I Will. And we've got documentations, we've got all of the tracks.
You
we've
said
got
he
all
wrote
the
song.
The song I Will, Mr. Isaac Carey.
I mean, I heard that part, sir, but I'm on the fact that he said he wrote the song.
It amazes me. When you gospel people, you guys, you do this whole religious thing, and then you don't...
Hold on, sir. First of all, all due respect, I don't know you. You don't know me. And for you to be, you know, making accusations as if we took somebody else's song when we were in the studio with the producer, he did the track right there on the spot. We wrote the lyrics right there on the spot. Then we went in the booth and recorded
and
the song.
And how does this gentleman have the same same song, same lyrics, documentation, and copyright?
Well, sir, you got to ask your client that. I have nothing to do with that.
Well, from my understanding, you're
you don't
the
need to be talking to me about this right here. You need to get with your client. Then I can get with my attorney and we can meet together because this right here, I don't do this.
Well, from my understanding, you're the spokesperson or the leader of this group.
No,
you're
we all
the person
in the group.
That wants to lead everything in this group. So you're that's the reason
sir,
why.
We're all leaders in the group. We all hold our own. But I tell you, just like they'll tell you, we didn't steal no song, take no song, or anything like that. So your information is correct. Your client is lying.
So you're telling me you didn't steal the song?
I'm telling you we wrote the song. So, that means the song belongs to us.
You don't think there's any thievery in this whatsoever?
Of course not.
I mean,
I think your client is lying.
I never thought I'd be handling a case with some religious thievery. I mean, this is like a religious thug, so to speak.
Sir, first of all, you're being condescending and all that. trying to talk over my head and try to talk to me, like talk down on me, that's what we're not going to do. Respect me just like I'm giving you respect. All I'm saying is the facts state this. We wrote the song. You can look on the back of the album. You can see our publisher. You can see the names on the song who wrote the song. We were there.
Sir, I look on the back, and you know what I see? I see a bunch of lies.
Okay, well, sir, take that up with our attorney.
Because I got a client here who's got it copywritten. He's got all the lyrics, all of the tracks. It's the exact same thing that I'm hearing on your album.
Sir, your client is lying if he said he wrote the song I Will. Now, maybe he wrote a song called Will I or Will I Am or something else, but he didn't write I Will. Not our rendition. He could have wrote a song called I Will, but it wasn't the rendition that we wrote.
I, sir, Mr. Isaac Carey, will take you to court if we don't get this matter rectified.
Please do, sir. I welcome that. I welcome that. Get your client. We can go to court however you want to do it. But at the end of the day, you're going to lose because we don't steal music. We're men of God, and I'm not just saying that. We're men of God. We do music, and we've been doing it for 20 years. We have a great reputation
in our
industry.
Does God know you stole a song?
Sir, again. I'm not going to keep going back and forth with you. You know, you're being very disrespectful.
You know, I'm a person that believes in a higher being, of course. I'm not in the gospel arena.
I believe that. I can tell.
Excuse me? What do you mean by that, sir?
What I mean is you're sitting here calling me. You don't know me. You don't have your information correct. You don't have your facts straight. But you're calling me saying that we stole a song that one of your clients. You didn't do your homework. First of all, you must not be a great attorney, with all due respect.
I'm a great attorney,
you
and you're a great
you
thief. Let's get that correct. You are a great thief is what you are.
Sir, your tone is what you need to change.
I'm not
going to
change
you,
anything until we get
the top right now.
Now, if you
want
to talk about
grown man,
out of court,
go disrespect
then we
me.
Can talk about that.
Sir, you're not going to disrespect me. If you want to further deal with the situation, get in touch with our attorney, get in touch with the record label that we recorded that album with, and you do
it. I'd like to meet with you and talk to you personally.
Well, sir, I'll tell you what. Since you want to meet with me, that's fine, because the Bible says in business be mean. We can get together. You're pushing my buttons. Now, if you really want to meet with me, I can put hands on you. I'm going to lay hands on you like the preacher do. You want to take 85 South and exit number 63, and I'll be right there in a blue car waiting on you with a gray sweatsuit on and a clergy collar.
You not only do you steal music, now you want to fight me. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just telling you right now, sir, let's handle it face-to-face. Let me see you. Let me see you.
What are you
going to
do? You're going to punch
bring
me?
My
are you going to punch
with it, but all this foolishness on the phone right here, this is not what I'm going to take. I done got a church today. I done had a good time in church. I done praised the Lord, all this, and come home trying to eat dinner, trying to watch the game, and you go call me with some foolishness like this? I don't have time for this, dog. Like, real
you
talk,
know, the
I don't.
The problem I have is when I read this book, it says Peter threw his net to the side, casting the way God told him to as a fisherman. And what you've done, you've jumped in Mr. Victor's net and taken out what has been given to him.
First of all, I don't even like fish. I eat salmon occasionally. I don't even like fish. So whatever fish that he sold his fish to, whatever soul food restaurant he took that to, that can't fit. That's on them. Me? We do things in decency and in order, just like the Word of God tells us to do. We do our music, we handle our business work, we do our music, and we handle the business side.
Are you willing to settle out of court for about $55,000?
We handled our business. We have the proper credentials and documents to prove that we wrote the song. We got it published.
Are you willing
to
settle out of court for $55,000?
Sir, are you kidding me?
That's my final offer. When are you guys coming out with another album? I guess when you guys get through stealing some more music? Is that
sir, I done told you now. I done told you one time. I'm going to tell you one more time. We don't steal music. We're men of integrity. We're men of standard. We don't do that. We don't have to.
I don't
now, you got
see
two
the
choices.
Standards.
You got two choices.
What I see is thievery. What I
Either
see is a copywritten.
Either you get off my phone with this foolishness, or we can meet face-to-face. See, you want me to smack you, but I ain't gonna lay hands on you. But I will slap you in the mouth with this Bible, because you need to be hit
Excuse
with the
me?
Word. Because you're crazy, man, if you're talking about we stole your music.
Sir, I got one more thing I want to say to you.
Sir, you don't got nothing to say to me, man.
Yes,
you
I
you
do.
Say.
I got something else I want to say.
Man, what you need to say to me, man?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. I got you, Isaac. Isaac, I got you.
Thomas Miles.
I almost couldn't hold it. I got you, Isaac.
But let me tell you something. You almost made me put my religion down. Boy, you don't understand. I just went to church this morning. God moved, and I'm about to go in here and lose it on you. This Thomas Miles.
Hey, man, one more thing, man. What is the baddest? Tell me, man, what's the baddest radio show in the land, boy?
Man, you already know. It's the Steve Harvey Morning Show. I'm going to get you, dog.
Sometimes you got to go after the Lord's people. I know that sounds crazy right there.
Yes, it does.
I know that sounds crazy.
Yes.
But sometimes you got to be tested, your faith. You understand what I'm saying?
And sometimes people go to hell. Hey, think about some of these things. Well, you talking about sometimes.
All right, nephew, thank you for that prank. Coming up, it's the strawberry letter for today's subject, my first major dating mistake with brothers.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
It is time.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
It is time now for today's strawberry letter. And if you need advice on relationships, on sex, on work, on dating, on parenting, on more, please submit your strawberry letter to steveharveyfm.com and click submit strawberry letter. Tell them Steve.
Yep, just like she said.
That's it.
I read every one y'all send in.
All right, let's get it. Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, the strawberry letter.
Subject, my first major dating mistake with brothers. Dear Uncle Steve and Aunt Shirley, I am a young female that graduated from high school 2 years ago. Yeah, and I am in a sticky situation. You see, after graduation, I met a guy on an online app and we texted back and forth and decided to spend some time together. We ended up going on dates and messing around a lot. He is a really great person, but he was not the one for me, so we ended our fling. We stayed in touch for a while through text messages, but that was about it. Last November, I met a new guy, and he and I are in a committed relationship. So things were great until we went to a New Year's Eve party, and the guy from my past was at the party. As if it were not awkward enough seeing him, I found out that this guy and my boyfriend are brothers. We allowed my boyfriend to introduce us, and neither one of us gave away our big secret. I may be overthinking this, but I do not want this guy to drive a wedge in my relationship by telling his brother about all of the wild stuff we used to do. It's been very awkward whenever all three of us are around each other. I think I should come clean and mention to my new guy that I used to mess with his brother. Do you think that he knows already and likes me so much that he's not saying anything? I don't want my past to ruin our future. I really value your advice, so please help me. Well, so far, he hasn't told his brother, right? So what makes you think he's going to tell him at all? I do think you're overthinking this a bit. If you're truly in a committed relationship, like you say, it might not matter to him. He hasn't mentioned it to you. You haven't said that in the letter that he's mentioned it at all. So I think you're a young lady. I think you need to know, and you'll learn in life that stuff is going to happen. Stuff happens in life that you have absolutely no control over. And I think that's just what happened here. You met his brother first. You guys were both very young. You've matured now. You've moved on, as people do. You said in your letter, he was not the one for you, so you guys ended it. So to you, I just say, stop feeling guilty. Stop feeling some kind of way when you're with your new man, all of that. I mean, life goes on. Let this go. Live your life. Stop worrying about the past. If it comes up, you can say that was a long time ago. It's over. It's just over. Sorry I didn't say anything, but it's over. It didn't mean anything to me. We're together now. Steve?
Mm. Well, that came from your Aunt Shirley.
Yes.
That's a real nice, hopeful, optimistic response. Lets you feel better about yourself and all that. Now, because you are a young female, I want to try to do the same thing for you. But you in a sticky situation. This guy that you ended up going on the date, messing around with a lot. Really great person, but he was not the one for me, so we ended it. But you stayed in touch for a while through text messages. Well, you know, we all know what was on them text messages.
What?
What they was doing.
What? Say it.
You know, they were sexting. They were, I sure miss you. Remember that time you...
Yes.
And all that there. Last November, I met a new guy.
Be quiet, Tommy.
He and I in a committed relationship. Things great. To the New Year's Eve party, the guy from your past at the party. Awkward enough, you find out this guy and your boyfriend are brothers. Mm. We allowed my boyfriend to introduce us, and neither one of us gave away our big secret. I might be overthinking this, but I do not want this guy to drive a wedge in my relationship by telling his brother. Well, now, let me tell you something. The first brother that you slept with, he ain't do nothing wrong. You said it was a great guy. He just wasn't the one for you, so you ended your fling. Now, you don't want this guy to drive a wedge in my relationship by telling his brother about, and hit a crazy part, about all the wild stuff we used to do. Mm. See, that's where we... How wild was it? Exactly what was you doing?
She's young, Steve.
It's been awkward whenever three of us around each other. I think I should come clean and mention to my new guy that I used to mess with his brother. Do you think that he knows already and likes me so much that he's not saying anything? Uh-uh. You can take that out your mind. That ain't how men work. Do you think he knows already and likes me so much that he not saying anything? What?
Nope.
Hell no. Your boyfriend don't know nothing about this. I don't want my past to ruin my future. I really value your advice, so please help me. Here's two things you got going for you. Number one, your boyfriend's brother may not want to hurt his brother by saying something if he thinks his brother's happy. So maybe he won't say nothing. On the other hand, he may not want to hurt his brother by not telling him, because if it come out, he's going to be looking upside his brother's head. The best thing for you to do is shut your damn mouth. Now, this is taking a page from the men's playbook. Why would you bring up an issue that ain't an issue? Why would you tell the truth when saying nothing at all sounds much better? I'm going to repeat that. Why would you tell the truth when saying nothing at all sounds so much better? Shut your damn mouth. Don't say nothing to your boyfriend. Act like you ain't never seen that other dude. And then if it come out, just say, I didn't know until I saw him at the New Year's Eve party, and I was too embarrassed. I felt horrible. That's all you can do, and then throw yourself at the mercy of the court. When we come back, Jay and I will do a reenactment.
Please let Jay play the girl.
Jay gonna be the girl, and I'm gonna be the brother trying to find out if what I'm thinking is happening is really happening.
All right, we'll have part two of Steve's response, and Jay's gonna step in as well when we come back at 23 after the hour, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, let's recap today's Strawberry Letter subject, my first major dating mistake with brothers. Let's get to your response.
Well,
and the recap.
This girl met a guy online, mm-hmm. dated him, had an affair. It was pretty hot, did a lot of wild stuff. Found out they wasn't for each other. They broke up. They stayed in touch. They text each other for a little while. She meets another great guy. They dating. Everything going fine. They go to the New Year's Eve party, and the guy she used to date was there. Come to find out, the two dudes is brothers. Now, she messed up. Her boyfriend introduced him as his new woman and his brother. They both kept their secret a secret. They didn't say nothing to each other. Boom. Maybe the brother don't want to hurt his brother and ain't going to ever hurt him by telling him. Maybe it could be y'all's secret, but we don't know. Then again, he may have to tell his brother because, man, I can't let you go on not knowing this. Because if it ever come out, I can't let you know that I knew this. Your only play that I think is, if it comes out, I didn't know y'all was brothers until I met y'all at New Year's Eve. and I was humiliated, embarrassed. I didn't know what to do. And I've been shaking in my boots until this came to light because I didn't want to lose you. You're the best thing ever happened to me. Yeah. He gonna leave you.
What?
But that you want to try to say that, though. Try to get that in there. Cry while you say it. Yeah. But his ass is gone.
You're gonna be blamed.
Gone like popcorn. If his brother tell him, it's going to be messed up, man. He may get over it, may not, but it's going to be messed up. So here we are at this moment in the show. I am going to play the boyfriend who's having some suspicions because y'all act a little strange around each other. Jay is going to be the girl trying at all costs to keep me off the subject.
No problem. Here
we
go.
Got it. Hey, you got this. Yeah. Hey, baby, can I talk to you about something?
Yeah, anything. Go right ahead, baby. What are you talking about?
You know, every time I see you and my brother around each other, y'all act kind of strange.
Strange like what? What you mean? Strange like how?
You know, strange. Strange. You know, y'all seem like, you know, y'all don't really be friendly with each other. You know, you're kind of distant.
Your brother cool with me. I like your brother. First of all, I didn't know you had a brother.
I know you ain't know I had one, boy. Yeah. I introduced you at the New Year's Eve party. And I remember back looking at the party, seemed like y'all was just sort of like,
you look real sick. No, not at all. Wasn't shocked, no. Not me, no.
What makes you think that? Baby, because you threw up.
Oh, well, I was just a little sick. You know, I had the bean dip. It was just like settling on my stomach. And then I put ginger ale on top of that. And I can't take bean dip and
ginger. Yeah, but baby, you didn't eat that to after. You didn't eat that to after you threw up. When we first got to introduce you to my brother, as soon as you looked at him, you started trying to hold it in.
And then you threw up on the pants leg. That was that bean dip. The bean dip had been
sitting. That wasn't no bean dip, baby, because they didn't bring the bean dip out right then.
Well, you ain't got to yell. Why are we yelling about your brother?
Yeah, but hold up. Wait, whoa. Yeah. Why you say it like that? Why you get all sexy talking about your brother? Well, what's up with that?
What you want me to say? There's nothing up to that. How you want me to say it? Well, what's up with your damn brother? Is that better? You like that way? Whichever way you want. Whichever way make you happy.
Hold on. Let me just say this.
You say how you want me to say it, and then I say it that way. How about that?
No. See, now you're trying to change the subject. What I'm getting at is this. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever met my brother before?
I ain't never seen your brother.
She went high. Baby,
you in a whole nother octave right now. What's happening?
I'm not saying you ain't no brother.
Hold on. Baby, what you crying for? I just asked you, had you met my brother before?
I'm sitting here telling you. I'm trying to tell you, I ain't never seen your damn brother. And you know I got an upset stomach. And all you keep asking me is about your brother.
See, you keep talking about this upset stomach, this bean dip. It's September now. Well, what did you keep talking about this bean dip you had? No, but what you crying for? Just answer the question. Have you ever met my brother before?
What?
I'll be damned.
She's upset.
Baby, come on now, just calm down. Baby, just calm down. Don't worry about that. Look, it probably ain't nothing. You know, I was just asking, you know, look, you don't want crying all this here. It ain't nothing, baby. Just forget I said something.
Really upset.
Baby, come on now.
I'm just a little upset.
I know you had the bean dip. Baby, look, I'm just trying to tell you.
Excuse me. I'm just a little upset.
Baby, forget it.
You know,
forget it.
Two things happened to me today.
Hold on one second. I'll tell you what. Don't worry about it. I'm going to ask my brother.
He coming over here now?
Straighten up on that.
He coming over here right now?
Yeah. He on the way over here because
we gonna go out.
Yeah, he coming over. I'm just gonna ask him because I don't want to upset you.
He gonna come over here now? You gonna ask him in front of both of us? You gonna ask him right now?
No, I ain't gonna ask him nothing in front of you. No, this is my brother. Me and my brother, we talking.
Hold on. Oh Lord, I gotta go to the bathroom so bad. Oh, I gotta go to the bathroom.
The bean dip.
Oh Lord, I swear for God, I've been sitting there. I kept saying to myself, "Well, when is that bean dip coming out? I got to go. I can't. Oh Lord. Bye. Talk to y'all later. Have fun with your brother.
Listen, we got to wrap this up, guys. Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at Steve Harvey FM. Or you can go to my Instagram, My Girl Shirley, at My Girl Shirley. Now, coming up in 10 minutes, Beyonce and Jay-Z Slade, the concert grass at the stadium in South Carolina. Plus, Steve and the guys are here with Comedy Roulette.
Got a key.
Right after this.
Damn key. They got a key.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
J. Anthony Brown, you know, you were doing a lot of hating last week when Beyonce and Jay-Z. You were. When they got their key to your hometown, the lovely city of Columbia, South Carolina. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Can I just say this?
What?
I love Beyonce and Jay-Z. They've done great work.
Uh-huh.
Great work. Uh-huh. But nobody has mentioned the word South Carolina more than me. And I'm talking on two damn shows. I've done this.
That's your home, dog.
Yeah, and that's my hometown. And why I don't have a key to this, or the code, some of the stuff is padlocked. So I ain't got to have no key. There's some areas that's padlocked. Why?
Jay,
I ain't
got
the code.
Since your people are still down there, you know, you come through anyway. They probably ain't give you a key because you don't tell them half time when you're there.
That ain't got nothing to do with it, Steve. I deserve a key.
Well,
I really do.
We'll have to work on that,
if you did,
Jay.
You'd have one.
That's for sure. All right, well, listen, then this past Saturday night during the On the Run Tour 2 stop in Atlanta, a crazed fan got on stage and got a beat down from the background singers, okay? Just ran up on stage. I digress. Back to South Carolina.
Yeah.
William Bryce Stadium, that's home to the South Carolina Gamecocks. You know them.
It's 80,000 people. More than that.
Wow.
Yeah. Put people on the floor.
Okay. Well, see, you know a lot about it.
That's where I'm from. Oh, my voice getting high.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting the fan got real high.
Well, anyway, they had to replace its football field less than a week before the season opener after hosting a Jay-Z and Beyonce concert. South Carolina stadium staff spent yesterday installing more than 90,000 square feet of Bermuda grass, Tommy. Now, just in case you're wondering, a hard cover was put over the field to protect it from wear and tear caused by construction of the stage and concert goers. But when the cover was removed, it was clear the grass had died and it needed to be replaced.
That's
can
golf
I just say
course
this about
grass.
That stadium?
You know that, don't you?
That stadium, if they set it up for concerts, you can get close to 125,000 people in there. Now, the University of South Carolina owns that stadium, and for a long time, they wouldn't let us have concerts in there, even though us could sell it out. So I'm glad they're
really
changing it.
You really ain't getting no key now.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
I'm just saying, let me say what I got to say. Because of Beyonce and Jay-Z, they have changed it, and a lot of concerts are starting to perform down there.
You hear that, Jay?
You're still not getting no key.
I ain't going to get no damn key. No.
You're not even getting a slave pass.
Well, you know a lot about the city.
I live right up the street from the damn city.
You have no key.
All right. But you know what? There's a lot of people in South Carolina going, you right, Jay. You ain't getting no key, but you're right.
All right, Jay. It's time now for Comedy Roulette, Jay.
All right, Jay, who don't have a key, here's how it goes. You take four subjects, put them on a wheel, spun the wheel, where it stop, we do the damn thing.
All right, here we go. Number one, I know what you're saying, but something in that story doesn't make sense. Here's another one. Do you ever have any good news when you call? ever.
Let's do that one.
Number three, I ain't saying this house is nasty, but.
I like
that. Okay, number four. Oh, that's not what you said when they were out of the room, okay? I'm just saying. That's not what you said when they were out of the room.
Everybody talked tough. Left,
yeah,
right.
It talked tough.
Get hard.
All right, come on, Kat. See where it's going to stop. Wait a minute. It stopped at number three. I ain't saying the house is nasty, but.
I knew it. I ain't saying the house is nasty. But the rat stopped me at the door and said, dog, don't go in there, all right?
Ew.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. What you got?
I'll tell
Is it
what.
Your house or the house?
The house.
I ain't
saying the house
is nasty, but.
But.
I ain't saying the house is nasty, uh-huh. But looking at your uncle over there, uh-huh. I think it is. Don't he come out of there?
Hey, man, look here. I ain't really saying your house nasty. Mm-hmm. But do your dog always go right there? It's a pile of it right there, dog.
Ew.
I mean, it's just all of it's just sitting there. I mean, it ain't nasty. I'm just saying.
I ain't saying your house nasty, but when I was over there, I said, do you smell that? And you said, smell what? I mean, come on.
Come on, dog. Come on, dog.
Come on, dog.
I ain't saying your house nasty, but I know good and hell well that's mold in that corner.
Oh.
I know damn well I'm looking at some mold.
Yeah. I know I'm looking at mold.
I know I'm looking at it.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. I'm not saying your house nasty, but why is your flies talking to me? Why are we having a conversation about your flies?
I'm just saying.
I ain't got a good one, though. Jay, you got one.
I can't tell how many times I heard that Stephen paid good money for it, but go right ahead, man.
Send him one.
I ain't saying your house is nasty, but your carpet ain't supposed to be sticky, okay?
Yeah.
That's nasty.
With your shoes on, dog?
That's nasty.
Man.
Come on, Steve, close it out.
I ain't saying your house nasty, but when your roaches come out the house, they dust each other off.
Let me get that off for you.
I don't know why we get that for you.
All right, that's it for Comedy Roulette. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. All right.
That was cute.
It was. Coming up at the top of the hour, Jemele Hill and ESPN have parted ways.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. We'll talk about it right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so Steve, after 12 years at ESPN, Jemele Hill's time with the sports media giant is coming to a close. This is according to multiple reports. James Miller, author of Those Guys Have All the Fun Inside the World of ESPN, reported that Hill met with ESPN president Jimmy Pitaro and that her buyout slash departure was amicable. Reports are that Hill's last day at the network will be August 31st. Hill made news last year when she called President Donald Trump a white supremacist in the wake of the deadly rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. That comment led White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders to call the remarks a fireable offense in October of last year. Hill was suspended for 2 weeks by ESPN after suggesting that fans could boycott Dallas Cowboys advertisers after team owner Jerry Jones threatened to bench his players if they did not stand for the national anthem. A buyout of her reported $2.5 million per year contract has been completed, and her last day will be this Friday. Wow.
Man. I'm going to miss her.
Yeah.
I ain't going to say nothing because I'm already not getting the
keys. She's good at her job, y'all.
She's
really good. I hope that she can land other work, but it could be a minute. Sad to say, but you know, if she got a buyout, she has time to pull it together. She's really good at what she does. Somebody will forgive her for that statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why they let her go, because of the things she said, huh?
Hey, Unc, what was the sister they let go that used to be on the field?
President could say whatever.
For the NFL.
Pam Oliver.
She's still there.
There you go, Joey.
She's still there.
Pam Oliver's still there.
Pam Oliver.
She's still there, along with Aaron
Andrews.
But
she went through a little drama, too, though, Carla.
Yeah, she went through drama, and it was caused by her own people sometimes. You know, I think that people were talking about her on social media and things like that, and that was not cool, what happened with Pam Oliver. But she's still working for Fox, so she's there.
Yeah. The Bachelorette is on CNN, Sports Center a lot now. Lindsay, Rachel Lindsay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, one of the Bachelorettes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
She's a lawyer. She's on my show a lot now. She's on on Sports Center right now. She's really good.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you think Jemele Hill will land somewhere?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. But that she does is a very small circle.
Mm.
Fox. Okay, ain't no work at Fox. So
that's out.
Fox Sports, Steve?
Maybe Fox Sports, yeah.
I'd love to see her land somewhere. I really would. She's really, really good.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Well, we're rooting for her, for sure.
Definitely. I hate to see her go, but I'm sure one door closes, another one open, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So, Steve, what's up with Dez Bryant? Is he going to Cleveland, Jacksonville, or
New
England?
Man, I don't
know. Think?
I don't know. They was talking to Cleveland, but, you know. He probably wanted more money than he worth. So.
Yeah, that's what I heard. He walked out of the negotiations without a contract with Cleveland. Did you hear that, Steve?
Yeah, I heard that. So, you know, I mean, it would have been cool to have Dez Bryant. He still got plenty of game in him. I think the concern with Dez Bryant is not just the money he's asking for, but they're afraid of the locker room dissension that he could bring to the table.
Oh,
is Dez Bryant a T.O., Uncle Steve? Is it the same vein as that?
Well, they're saying he's in the same vein.
Okay.
You know, it's a lot of sideline rhetoric, ranting,
tantrum,
talking to the quarterback.
He's an emotional guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great football player, man. I think he deserves a shot. I always think that people drum it up more than it really is.
I think so, too.
I think that Dez Bryant's probably a really cool guy in the locker room. Heck of a teammate, competitor. He stays in shape. You know, he looks good. And he can still ball. But, you know, people put words out about you. And I think that's hurting his reputation, which is probably blown way out of proportion. He's probably a great dude, man.
Yeah.
What you think, June? You think Houston could have used him?
We could use anybody. We ain't got but one damn receiver. We need another. Yeah.
Y'all need to quit
acting
like y'all
speaking for the Texans?
For the Houston Texans. We could have used him. I'm saying we could use him right now.
I mean, we need somebody.
Wow.
We got DeAndre Hopkins. Name
Hopkins is who we have. That's our boy. But we need two, three more with Hopkins.
Man. Mm. But you know, one thing about though, Josh Gordon came back too, Unc. You know he came back.
What about that big white boy from Kansas?
You know what, Jay? You know what? You say that no matter if we talking about baseball, basketball, or football. You always say, what about the big white boy from Kansas?
Yeah, Junior.
Not that.
I heard you.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon is back now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He had went out because of mental problems, he said.
Yeah.
So he needed some time.
He needs some time off the camp, but he back. So that's y'all number
wrong
one
with him mentally.
Well, he got killed when he found out they weren't gonna pay him.
is that what fixed it?
What, Steve?
Took his ass on that leave and found out they wasn't paying.
He snapped right out of it.
Got all right.
Wait a minute.
Say what? They're not doing what?
Yeah. Had his last bipolar moment. Yeah.
And that works everywhere, don't it?
I ain't saying that's what he had. I don't really know. I wish him the best, but. You know,
but any
take
job,
that time off.
Don't they work on any job?
What?
You take a leave after they say we ain't paying you. Don't you try to figure out how you gonna get back?
Oh hell yeah, dog.
Let me ask you, Steve. Would you have liked to have been a sports commentator?
No.
At one time.
No, I talk too much trash. I can't stop cussing.
What? I mean, you two are
just coming out with a channel where you'll be able to cuss with.
I can't do it. really, I can't talk sports
because of the cussing. Yeah.
I can't talk sports and don't cuss.
Stephen A. Smith does it.
Sports show. You want satellite cussing sports?
That would be great. That would be great.
You can't talk sports without cussing. Okay.
Not
you
me.
Just did it though.
Yeah, I know.
I wasn't talking about nothing. See, ain't nobody argue back with me. Now, if somebody hears something counter to what I said, then the cussing starts.
All right. Well, listen, coming up in 20, at about 20 after the hour, a monkey goes ape at a Florida eatery. We'll talk about that right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
A Florida child who went out for a bite to eat ended up getting a bite of another kind when a monkey took a chunk out of his thumb on a restaurant patio. The monkey's owner, Mary and Richard Van Houten, brought JoJo to their neighborhood Carrabba's Grill on Monday. But instead
of JoJo! JoJo!
But instead of settling for a nice banana cream pie, the monkey decided it wanted some finger food. Oh, really? It got off its leash, chomped a piece of the boy's thumb. That's crazy. According to the Florida Wildlife Commission, JoJo the monkey, who was a regular at the restaurant, was playing calmly with the 8-year-old when something startled him and he bit down, breaking the skin. The owners of Carrabba's said they would no longer allow monkeys on their patio.
Now they stop.
Really?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
No, if you biting boys' fingers,
JoJo!
You got to go.
JoJo.
JoJo's a regular, though.
Yeah.
JoJo's a regular.
So JoJo
ain't nobody but JoJo. Can you come here all the time?
What startled right. him that he bit the little boy's finger, though, his thumb? I wonder what startled him.
Yeah. No telling.
Yeah.
But where is the restaurant that lets a monkey be a regular?
Yeah, that's where we at.
Yeah, I mean, I know in L.A. people can bring their dogs and, you know, in the restaurants and everything, but I've never heard of a monkey, ever. And I don't want anybody in L.A. to hear this story.
Oh, they're hearing it now.
They might change the laws in L.A.
The only person monkeys. I know was Michael Jackson that had a monkey. Bubbles. I don't know nobody else had a monkey.
Uh-uh. But I don't know that he took Bubbles to restaurants.
He took Bubbles out.
He ain't never left the house.
Hold on. Uncle Steve is the one that knows. Did he take Bubbles places?
No, he took Bubbles somewhere out in public one time. Bubbles acting fool.
He did?
Wait, what?
Yeah, he wasn't used to nobody.
Uh-huh.
You've seen pictures with Mike with that monkey out with that little suit on. Both of them dressed like Captain
Crunch.
Dressed
like. I love
Captain Crunch.
Hey, Tommy.
But he did take...
Tommy, you remember I gave y'all them clothes?
Yeah.
Them were Bubbles clothes.
I didn't see that one coming.
You gave me clothes that belong to a monkey?
Right in front. You know,
Pop
team.
Wait.
Come on, team,
you
Tommy.
You gave me clothes that belong to a monkey?
I'm trying to stop it, damn it. And I'm going to put a stop to this. This don't make
Hold
no
on,
damn
Jay.
Sense.
Wait a minute.
But Jay's sick
Uncle
of
Steve,
you,
Tom. You gave
what
me
are you
clothes
worrying about
that
coming from
Bubbles?
A monkey for?
They fit, did they?
Yeah.
That's why I had eczema.
That's why
eczema? You were allergic.
You know, he had
That's
them little bow legs.
That's why I kept itching.
And put them on. That's what made the pants be short enough for you.
Wow. And you kept that little jacket, didn't you?
Yeah. He had it on at Essence one time.
Not at Essence.
You're
not going to add to it.
He didn't know it. He had on Bubbles jacket at Essence.
I remember saying to myself, wow, it's different for Tommy.
We don't need one person.
I was fly at Essence. When I hosted Essence, I was fly.
It's a different look for Tommy, but okay.
You know what?
I remember saying
I'm not going to sit here and take all these jokes. I'm going to move over there.
Team Tommy.
I'm Team Tommy, damn it.
Did he really get you clothes from Bubbles?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Did he really get you clothes from Bubbles?
Yeah,
what
that's what you need
asking.
To have. Just look back at your outfit the first year you did Essence.
I had a Bubbles suit on.
All right, listen, while you guys debate that.
You couldn't wear Michaels.
We'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
Oh, my God.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, this is from our home station, WMXD Mix 92.3 in Detroit. The city of Detroit will honor the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, all this week. Fans and mourners will celebrate Aretha Franklin's life with 5 days of events. Miss Franklin died, as we all know, August 16th after a long battle with pancreatic cancer. Surrounded by friends and family, Miss Franklin's body will lie in repose at the Charles H. Wright Museum for African American History at 315 East Warren Avenue, Detroit, Michigan. The viewing will be open to the public for today and tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. The Queen's funeral service will be this Friday, August 31st, and we will play Miss Franklin's music all morning this Friday. The Queen of Soul's music lives on here at the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, Shirley.
Yes.
Your guy that did your wedding, Pastor Jasper Williams.
Uh huh. Mm.
That's who's doing the eulogy.
Oh really? Oh really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Mr. Jasper Williams. That's Small a bad world. Boy, right?
Yeah, he is. He is. All right.
That boy can preach.
So, Steve, I gotta ask you something. Did you hear about this? We all know the Queen, Miss Franklin herself, was known for wearing fabulous fur coats. Now that she's gone, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, that is PETA, would like to have those fur coats.
What they gonna do with them?
Tracy Raymond, PETA's executive president, has reached out to Aretha's niece, Sabrina, to get the coats so they can use them for homeless people and as bedding for needy animals.
Be right there. They finna get the custom of a life.
Hold my mule. Hold my mule right now.
Yeah.
She said by donating Aretha Franklin's fur coats to PETA, her family could expand her legacy of social justice to animals. While we can't bring back the animals who suffered and died for them, these coats can help others by providing some much needed warmth to orphaned animals and humans in desperate need. So
now,
far.
We gonna get these coats for the animals to lay on, or are we giving the coats to homeless people?
Homeless people and bedding for needy animals. Yes.
So you got a fur coat.
I didn't
on
know
the
people.
With a sign.
I didn't know that PETA did that.
Well, neither
they,
did
they,
I.
They do anything
Steve.
For people.
I neither did I. They can use them.
If
for
If you
homeless
give them
people.
That coat, I'm about to promise you they're not giving it to a homeless person. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gonna be on the corner with a fur coat and a sign,
and it's a pawn shop right there.
Man,
shut up, Steve.
No, but, Carl, I got that.
No, the fact,
I'm home.
I got that visual.
I ain't got nowhere to stay.
To get it out of my head.
But
now.
I got this.
You gonna give me a sable, and I'm gonna rock it.
She had fabulous furs.
Yeah.
Oh, she did.
Yes, yeah,
she did.
Respect. Uh-huh. Yes, mm-hmm. respect. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I just don't see how you gonna ask her family before the funeral about these damn coats. We trying to bury my grandmother. We trying to bury my mama. What the hell
I'm telling you, man. They bargain up the wrong tree with that one. I think.
Yes, yes.
I really do think
one
that.
Thing people don't do when they're having a funeral is let you take anything out my mama's house. You ain't taking a damn thing out my mama's house. Nothing. It ain't happening. No.
Well, needless to say, yeah. So far, the estate has not responded.
And they ain't gone.
Yeah.
But no response.
Oh, they didn't
respond.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It ain't the
no
one they wanted
an
to
hear. Answer.
Oh, no. They didn't respond. PETA just ain't heard it.
They didn't want to hear it. Yeah. All right. We'll be back with the close, with Steve's closing remarks coming up at 49 after the hour, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Last break of the day. We've had a great morning today.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes, we did. We had fun today. Steve, it's time for you now to take us home with your closing remarks. What you got for us today, Steve?
Well, this is going to be short and to the point, I think. I just want to remind everybody something, that your dreams can come true if you're willing to fight for them. You have to fight for your dreams. You have to fight for the life of your dreams. You have to fight to be free. You have to fight to be an entrepreneur. You have to fight to be successful. You have to fight the naysayers when you say, I'm going to leave my job. You have to fight the naysayers when you say, I want a better job. You have to fight some forces out there when you go, you know what? I'm going to leave here to pursue a better position at another company. You're going to have to fight for it. Change requires a fight. It just does. I don't know why it is, man, but there's people always in our lives somewhere who are going to fight us on decisions that we make about ourselves. I don't know why that is, but it seems to happen for everybody. All of us have to fight to get through to the other side. You have to fight through the wall of fear. You have to fight through doubt. You have to fight through confusion. You got to fight through the naysayers. You got to fight through haters. You got to fight through the fact that it didn't go your way. You have to fight through the fact that you got up and you just wasn't feeling yourself today. You got to find a way to fight through. You got to find something in you that makes you keep fighting even when you don't. There's a poem, a stanza in a poem that says, if you can force your heart, your nerve, and your sinew to serve its turn long after it has gone, when there is nothing left within you except the will to say to them, hold on. You have to fight like that. Now, the funny thing about that line in that poem, I think that's if. And the stanza says, if you can force your heart, your nerve, and sinew. Sinew is the fibers that holds all your insides together. They call that sinew, those tendons or whatever it is, that stuff, that those lines and cords and fibers that hold your heart and organs and all that stuff in place. If you could force your heart, nerve, and sinew to serve your turn long after it is gone, when there's nothing left within you except the will to say to them, hold on, that's how you got to fight. That's how you got to fight. And it's all right, but make it a good fight. Don't lay down. Don't let nobody punk you out your dreams. Don't let nobody trick you out of what God has for you. Don't let the fact that you got to fight stop you from fighting. Life is a fight, man. It's a dog fight out here. They're not walking money up to your house. I'm sorry. They're not passing out checks. They don't send free money to nobody's house. You got to do something to get it. And if you really want to get it, you are involved in a fight, like it or not. That is what we are in. We are in a fight. So get with it. Stop punking out. It ain't time for that. You in a fight. We are in a fight. Let's go. That's what it is every day. And if you think it's not, keep sitting up in here letting life slap you upside your head, because that's exactly what it's going to do. You're in a fight, folks. You're in a fight for your dreams. You are in a fight for the life God has for you. You are in a fight for your future. You are in a fight for your promotion. You're in a fight for advancement. You're in a fight to do life better. You are in a fight to have more. You are in a fight to succeed. You are in a fight to overcome. You are in a fight to beat illness. You are in a fight every day of your life. What you think this is? You got to fight and make it a good fight. And here's the tip to fighting. If you have God in your life, you will not lose the fight. Period. That's all I got to tell you. If you have God in your life, you will not lose the fight. If you include him in the process. See, in all of my fights, he is my partner. He my tag team partner. When I tag him in, everybody in the ring need to clear it. All the people that take me to court falsely, all the people who lie about me falsely, all the people who try to bring me down for self-gain, I'm not over here by myself. I am protected by a scripture, Isaiah 54:17, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Come for me if you want to. I'm going to hand you the scripture and get out the way. I've seen him do it for me too many times. But I know I'm in a fight. I just don't go to the fight alone. You can't take a knife to a gunfight. Put God in your life and you cannot lose the fight. Because that's what we're in. We're in a fight. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
Drop the mic, baby.
Yes,
drop
sir.
It.
Yes,
drop
sir.
Drop it like it's hot, Steve.
That was a good one, Steve.
That's on it, though.
Sound like you're still fighting.
That's on it,
yeah. For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarveyFM.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.